Hello and welcome to Eden Exchanges, the business journey podcast by Eden Exchange. Today, our digital marketing account manager, Kirsty Dinning, spoke to Matt Fiddies and Ryan Canavan from Matt Fiddies Martial Arts. Listen as Matt and Ryan discuss how Matt Fiddies became one of the most notable names in martial arts globally, how they have taken their franchising model from the UK to Australia, how they help children learn discipline and manners in addition to martial arts, and so much more. Keep listening to learn all about Matt Fiddies Martial Arts right here on Eden Exchanges.
Hi, welcome to Eden Exchanges podcast. My name is Kirsty and I'll be your host. Today we are joined by Matt and Ryan and we're going to talk about the amazing Matt Fiddies Martial Arts franchise in Australia. Hi guys, thanks for joining us so much today. Can you start off by telling us a bit about your background, how you first became involved in this franchise?
So about 14 years ago, we had the opportunity to bring the then Matt Fiddies Martial Arts franchise into Australia. Initially at the time, it was very well geared into working quite well within health clubs. And a lot of the health clubs in the UK had become very successful in basically taking Matt's brand on, utilizing unused downtime in their studios and basically bringing in new revenue streams, which was something that was kind of unheard of and helped a lot of the smaller health club chains back then survive against some of the bigger competitors. And I was working within the health club industry back then. And we were looking to kind of expand our offerings, what we could offer health clubs. And Matt was looking for a way to get into Australia. So we had the network of fitness centers. He had the product. So we got together and that's how we started.
Oh, amazing. And Matt, simply what inspired you to start MF Martial Arts in the beginning?
Yeah, I was like the typical kid bullied at school, 7 years old, and academically I wasn't very good at school. I had a bully who would just beat the living daylights out of me at break times and so on. But he motivated me to start martial arts. As a child who sat next to me, he said, "You need to defend yourself, come and learn martial arts." And the first one I did was jiu-jitsu, but I wasn't very good at that. So I'm like 6'4". I didn't like being thrown on the floor and guys smothering me and rolling themselves all over me. That's not my thing at all. So and in the room next door, there was taekwondo. And being tall, I was already had the long legs. I could do all the kicks and so forth and already could do the splits. And I just knew at that moment, this is what I want to do for a living. I wasn't going to be, my mum's one of 14 kids and they're all university graduates. She's a lawyer and I wasn't academically gifted in any way. I can't even write. Even now, I can sign my name and stuff, but they assumed I was right-handed. In fact, I was left-handed. By the time they worked that out at school, I was already 14 years old. It was too late. So I left school with this dream of becoming a martial arts instructor. And it started off in my mathematics class when I was about 13. We had these exercise books that we use. I guess they use iPads now, I suppose. I was bored because in England, we have these red telephone boxes. I think they're quite famous in Australia. They're like museum pieces now, but they were like a real thing for us. We want to ring our parents. And one of the exam questions to leave school, the GCSEs, what do you call GCSEs over here to leave school? Like the high school qualifications.
Yeah.
One of the draft questions was, how many different ways can you put 50p into a phone box? Is it 220p's and a 10 or 510p's? And I just thought, this is ridiculous. This school system is not going to teach me nothing. And I turned to the back of the exercise book, and I've still got it to this day, and I wrote all these goals. I want to be a millionaire by the time I was 20. I want to have a Ferrari by the time I was 20. I want to be the most well-known martial arts instructor in the world by the time I was 20. Then I had some funny things in there that only martial artists would get. Like I want to be able to do the splits on the chairs like Jean-Claude Van Damme, have a six-pack and do all these high kicks. And I left school at 16 and I made it happen. You know, I studied the greats in America who are always like 20, 30 years ahead of us. It's before we had technology like this, you know, where I had to get on a plane and fly over like 13 times to attend business conferences. And I brought the information back to UK. I was only 17 and 18 years old, I was making £1 million a year teaching martial arts. And by the time I was 20, I achieved all those goals. I had the Ferrari. I was the most well-known martial arts instructor in the UK. I had 700 students. And by the time I was 22, I was financially independent. I was like buying property and things and then became Michael Jackson's bodyguard, head of security for 10 years. And then I expanded it out and he taught me how to franchise the business. So Michael taught me how to scale. I had five schools and he said, you can expand it. And I said, I don't know how I can do it. The next town is like 80 kilometers away. And he said, it's called franchising. And I said to Michael, well, no one's ever done that before. And he said, that's exactly why you got to do it. So he mapped out on the napkin that I need to script everything out, be good at marketing. Because he was used to like lending his brand to PepsiCo. He had the biggest endorsement deal in the world. So he kept me accountable for 10 years on franchising my business. And I'd ring him at Neverland and say, you know, how you doing? And he said, I'm doing good. I just signed an $80 million deal to tour Korea. How are you doing, Matt? So I've opened up 10 schools with 20 students in, and I think come off the phone, I've got to up my game. And that's how it came about. So with Australia, we basically wanted to do everything we did over there and duplicate over here. So we've got over 1,500 locations there, and the goal was to duplicate it. So I've been here a while now. I've been here a week. And literally, if you watch the classes, they're pretty much down to the same. Other than the accent, everything is the same as it is in the UK. So they've done an amazing job. That's how it came about, because I was very good at school and I turned my passion into my profession. And I offer personal trainers and people out there who want to do the same thing, careers to change their lives, really, and have an incredible income from doing something they love rather than getting stuck in a dead-end job.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely incredible. And you can just see it in, like, the passion that comes across as well. And talking to Ryan, it's amazing as well. So moving on to, how does the MF Martial Arts differentiate itself from other franchises in the market? And what are the unique advantages that you offer potential franchisees?
Yeah, so we're very different from a traditional martial arts. If you compare us to UFC, like UFC would only be probably 5 or 6% of the population would be interested in that kind of sparring, fighting. So we're not about fighting or kicking and punching. The martial arts is just the hook. On top of that, we're delivering educational skills. The kids will get homework every month, like good manners, good attitude. They have homework sheets to keep their bedroom tidy, to be respectful to their parents. They can't grade unless they've got a form signed off by their parents, their school teachers. Otherwise, we hold their grades back. So we're an educational system. We don't like to be described as a club. We're a private school. So everything the school system don't teach, we teach, basically, in a nutshell. That's how it works. So we're extremely different. That's why we've excelled and grown for nearly 30 years, is because we focus on education. And we do have an element of people, probably about 10% of our student base, who want to compete and do championships. We just had a big one with over 1,000 people attend here on the Sunshine Coast. But it's not what we're about. We focus on changing lives, and that's what parents do. Parents bring us their kids to us because they want us to represent what their kids want to become one day, a successful adult, lead by example, rather than have some rapper or some TikTok star who they look up to. Like, you know, I mean, they're watching people like Andrew Tate, and whether you love him or hate him, that's what the kids know who he is. He's the most Googled man on earth at the moment. So we try and provide positive role models, lead by example, teach children to stay away from drugs, alcohol, smoking, stand up to negative peer pressure. And the martial arts is the hook to get them doing a fun activity and look up to us. So we help the parents out. We work closely with the parents and school teachers.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely incredible. It's so much the relationship between body and mind and how it can just work together to get improvements. It's absolutely incredible, yeah, especially for kids and coming out of their shells, because I think as well a massive thing, potentially at COVID, all the kids became quite shy and quite reserved and they didn't know how to have those people skills or something, and having an activity in a safe environment is incredible to do that.
And to add to that as well, when you said before that differences between ours and other competitors in the market, it's one of those things. Martial arts has never really been known as a huge business opportunity. You know, if you're looking, you finish school or you finish uni or you want to own your own business, I guess a lot of people, even with martial arts backgrounds or passions, wouldn't even think to look for a martial art business. But the thing is that there are businesses like ours available where even if you did a bit of martial arts when you were younger, or you're just passionate about changing kids' lives or passionate, we've got the vehicle to do that. So when it comes to competition, there's not really much out there, because there's not really anyone out in this, not in Australia or anywhere anyway, that kind of provides the opportunities that we provide for our franchise owners.
Martial arts is not a competition too. It's after school clubs that have no meaning, like soccer and football and stuff like that. I mean, if you compare us to the nearest similarity, like swimming, that's something that can save lives. We can save lives what we do. We can make people become confident adults. I mean, it's great to have kids being active, don't get me wrong, but we wouldn't look at another martial arts school as a competitor. We're very different to what they do. We'll look at other after school activities like music lessons, violin lessons, and like you guys, the surf life saving stuff, which is again another essential thing. But with us, it's an essential skill that all kids, and I truly believe what we do, should all be taught in schools anyways. I mean, the school system's teaching kids how to draw dinosaurs. That's not going to help them when they're older. They need to learn about stuff that's going to help them now and help them in the future, not about what happened, you know, a million years ago. That's just pointless studying the past, like trying to drive a car looking in the rearview mirror. So we focus on real stuff. So we even teach them like financial education, what a mortgage is, what's good debt, what's bad debt, how to set goals and achieve them. That's the stuff they need to learn, what parents want them to learn. So when parents bring the kids to us, it's a lot more than kicking and punching. It's about respect, discipline, self-confidence, standing up to negative peer pressure, not taking drugs, becoming a successful adult, having positive role models. So martial arts is not our competition. And that's why we scale out, and we can offer amazing careers to people who want to come on board wherever in the world. You know, it doesn't make a difference who works in 10,000 miles away in England or in Australia, it's all the same thing. They just follow the set blueprint that we've been running now for 27 years. So, but so we don't see martial arts as a competition. After COVID, which you mentioned, I noticed now a lot of people that the key word is collaborate, don't compete. So a lot of people might be watching this thinking, I want to be like those guys and want to don't have to worry about money anymore. But rather than try and compete against people like us, collaborate with us. We welcome people with open arms. We don't have egos. We want the help of other martial arts school owners out there or personal trainers who are struggling right now, where the first thing people get rid of in a recession is their leisure activities, but they won't get rid of the educational activities. Yeah. Parents will always want their kids to be disciplined, have structure in their life. So collaborate, don't compete. Don't look at us as competitors. Come and work with us.
Yeah. And on that then, what qualities do you look for in potential franchisees and how do you ensure that they're a good fit for the brand?
We're quite strict. We're very strict on that because they've got our name and they carry our, and if they make one mistake, it will reflect on us. So I'll let Ryan expand on that for Australia from what he looks at because we look at slightly different in the UK.
Yeah. And obviously we have got a pretty strict onboarding process, but it only becomes strict, you know, at a certain point. So there's certain qualities we look for most definitely. And, you know, obviously great communication skills and people who have got huge interests in the same kind of values that we have, which is what Matt's been talking about, being a provider or working, especially with the youth and development and trying to make a big difference through having a positive impact. If you've got a massive passion in that and you're a great communicator and that's what your interest is in, you know, we can work with you. We've got the ability to be able to provide the rest of the tools that you'd need in order to be a successful business owner with us. How long that would take obviously differs from person to person depending on their skill sets, but that's the thing, like we're open to talk to anybody with any skill sets as long as their values align, and that's one of the biggest things. So that, you know, yes, we are strict with that, but at the same time, anyone who's got an interest in personal training or interest in working with children in coaching, you know, the right kind of person that's a fit with us that shares with our values, we'd love to have a chat with them and talk them through the process.
Yeah, amazing. And so when you find that perfect person, what do you consider to be the biggest benefits of franchising for the individual franchisee and also for the brand?
Well, they can. I've been doing this since I was 17. I don't know anything else. And I made a lot of mistakes along the way. And people can, what I've done in 27 years, they can do in 5. Because I've made all the mistakes for them. That's the beauty about buying a franchise. They can just jump on in. We just say, do this, do this, do this, do this, and you're going to get the same result. It's going to vary slightly from area to area, but in principle, it works in any country. You just follow the same system. And there's not a challenge that we haven't overcome. Literally everything you can imagine, we've overcome. We've gone through a recession. We've gone through the whole world closing down with lockdown. We've gone through everything. And we're surrounded by a great network of people who are doing extremely well all over the world. So the benefit is that why try and work it out for yourself? What's the point? You might never get there. It might take you 30 years. You might as well just jump on the board where there's locations available, collaborate with people who know what they're doing, who've got your back, and will work with you to help you achieve your goals. And it's not just about the money, although the money bit people don't like to talk about. At the moment, you need to be focused on making money more than ever before because the expenses have been higher and it's going to keep going up. Interest rates will keep going up. Inflation is out of control. And rents are going up. House prices will start crashing in Australia like never seen before. So you need to start focusing on money. And it's like a dirty word in the UK too. English don't like talking about money. In America, it's different. They talk about money big time. And there's no shame in that. When you make a lot of money, you've got a Lamborghini, they pat you on the back and they want to take you out for dinner and say, how'd you do that? Australia and the UK, it's like stab you in the back type of thing. Oh, what's he doing wrong? Is he selling drugs? You know, but if you provide a good service and you focus on the good service, the byproduct will be money. If you focus on money, then you're not going to do very well. We're in the same industry as the medical side, like your doctor. You go to them when you feel sick and you're not well, and they get paid well for it. We keep people healthy and mentally stable, you mentioned too. Yeah, if you've got a healthy body, have a healthy mind, and a healthy mind, healthy body. So we prevent people from going to the doctors by giving them an outlet to channel energy to keep in shape. So our team should get paid more than a doctor because we're the step before you go to the GP, your doctor or consultant. So I think it's now more than ever, people need to focus on turn their passion into profession, not doing a dead-end job they don't want to do, and come and be part of something big and achieve your goals in 5 years. Not just financial though, your health goals, your nutrition goals, your relationship goals and life balance, and the money side will come as long as you follow what we teach you to do. That will be the byproduct, but you mustn't focus just on the money, but that has to be part of your goals. There's three goals you should have really. You should have your financial goal, your health goal and your business goals. They all need to be in place. And if you haven't got one of them, it will all fall down.
And to add to that too, obviously with franchising these days, you know, with owning your own business or starting something from scratch, you think you need to be physically face-to-face with the people who help. And that's just not true anymore. You know what? We've got our master franchise is in England, and we collaborate with people from the UK, and we have an issue that we can't solve in Australia, we can get the answers instantly from being online. I can have a one-on-one physical consultation. I can do it over Zoom these days, and we couldn't do that. Even before COVID, it wasn't really a big thing being able to manage an entire business online, but now it's an accepted thing. So during COVID, we really applied a lot of our efforts into honing in on our online capabilities to be able to support franchise owners anywhere, whether you live next door to me or you live in Victoria. There's no difference in service between what a franchise owner would get living down the road and what one would get living 3,000 kilometers away. Everything that we can do now, we can do for everybody, no matter where they live. And that's a huge advantage that you've got being a part of a franchise group, having that access to information and support whenever you need it from wherever you can get it from. It's always available. And that takes away the risk and that fear of, will it work? Will it not? Well, it definitely works. And we've got the proof. And if you want to know how to do it, you get access to everyone who's already doing the same thing whenever you need it. And that's a huge thing, I think, if you're going into business for the first time.
We see it as like a family too. We call it the MF family. We don't see it as like I pretty much know the franchise's kids' names. They've been with me for so long. I've had people with me for like 25 years. When they're on holiday, when they're ill, I know exactly what's going on in their personal lives. And we get involved. It's like a family organization. If you're going to run a franchise business, you need to run it like that. We really care for them. And we're very fussy who we take on too. And in the UK, I sign off every single instructor still now personally, because they've got my name above the door. And that's what it takes, attention to detail, if you want to be successful. The system works, but the person needs to make it work.
Yeah, and the representation of the brand and everything as well.
Exactly.
That's a big bit. Can you describe what the day-to-day activities look for at MF Martial Arts franchisee?
Yeah, okay, so that's a big one. So obviously one of the big draw factors for an MF franchise, especially here in Australia and actually in the UK as well, is that it works on a casual lease model. That's one of the most attractive things, because people are worried about huge overheads and, you know, long-term return on investments, those types of things. But, you know, with us, because we work on a casual lease type of model and there's no massively huge overheads, it allows you a little more flexibility with what you do with your time each day. And because of that, we obviously work extensively with every franchise owner around implementing business plans and strategies around best use of their time theory, making sure that for their number of hours they've got available in the day, they're investing those hours wisely in order to build their schools. We help with that. That's part of the growth and planning strategy. And we continue to do that all the way through their plan, right through to wherever they, as big as they want to get, basically. There's no cap on the size of a franchise with us. So the day might look like administration duties during the day. You might be doing school visits, public relations type of exercise. In the afternoon, you'd be teaching classes. Some of our franchise owners run classes in the morning and during the day as well. So, you know, depending on how much time available, then we kind of make sure that we fill up those diaries with as much as we possibly can to get them to their business and financial and personal goals as quickly as possible. But it's kind of broken down into three things. You know, you've got your health and your fitness and your own personal progression plan. You've got your business planning, which is your administration duties. And then you've got your product, which is going out there and running the business physically face-to-face, whether it's you or your instructor team or whoever you set up. But that's pretty much what it is on a day-to-day basis. There's daily, there's weekly, there's fortnightly, there's quarterly, there's bi-yearly tasks that every franchise owner runs as part of the franchise setup, the way the model works. And that's obviously part of the training, is understanding what needs to be done and when it needs to be done by. And but once you've got that under control, and that takes, you know, a few weeks once you've got that down pat, it's a rinse and repeat model and it's very scalable. So, you know, once we teach it to you and you've got your head around it, it's very simple then to scale it quite quickly. So you can go from being like an owner operator with, you know, one small location in one area over the course of 2 years, becoming, you know, 1,000 students plus with a humongous instructor team in multiple locations. And that's exactly what we do. So we take people who want to have that long term, the, you know, maybe a 5-year plan of whatever that life might look like. And it might be, I'd love to have an invested interest in 1,000 people's lives, making a huge difference in the community. And I'd like to have this kind of income and this type of house and this type of car and whatever that life looks like. We kind of start there and we work backwards and we go, that's great. And then in order to achieve that, all you need to do is this and this and this, break it right back down into the yearly goals and then set their plans up around that. So everyone's days will look different. It always bases back to exactly what they're looking to achieve long term. And that's the best thing about being part of a franchise, is that, you know, there's no too big. It's as big as you want to get. I think people who buy into franchises think like that. They're not in it for a bit of a side hustle job. They're in it for, you know, for a lifestyle opportunity. And that's what we create.
Yeah. And so you mentioned kind of briefly there about the size and the growing. So how do you approach site selection and the market analysis when deciding to open a new franchise location?
We copy the UK as well in relation to how we kind of source sites, but we've partnered up with franchise territory mapping agencies that actually do the mapping for us. So when you take a territory on with the MF organization, we don't just say, hey, here's a postcode, go for it. We've created avatar models around the perfect client that we've basically, you know, designed over years and years and years of tried and tested methods of what is the ideal client for us. And we know who that is right down to their name and height, basically. That's how specific we get. And then we tap that particular type of personality into a model, this company does. And then they give us then maps based on being able to achieve a certain benchmark. So we look at a minimum criteria of what someone could expect to achieve, say financially. Quite a, there's a massive amount of room for expansion on that. But we try and go for like a, okay, well, at worst case scenario, this is what you could expect. And then the whole entire state is mapped out into segments. And when you purchase a territory, you're purchasing potential for growth in a territory that we've already kind of worked out in advance. And again, look at massive franchises like F45 and huge ones like that. And we know from experience, when those territories were mapped, there was so much more room for growth and potential in those territories that some of those owners managed to open up 10 locations in one territory. And that was great for them before they had an opportunity to micro dose the territories and make more. Instead of doing that, we've just gone for bigger territories to give our franchise owners much more potential for growth, because they will learn when they get involved with us is that the internal growth mechanisms that we have within our business structure allows them to be able to grow from, like I said before, an independent franchise operator to having multiple people working within their territory, and the territories are designed to be able to take that growth on, and that's how it works.
Yeah, so they're not limited at all, and you're supporting them to grow and to blossom and get better as well.
Yeah, we even go as far as we say, you know, if you bought a territory and then somebody else comes along and external from the group and they want the territory next to you, we give first right of refusal to our current franchise owner. So we go as far as that. We look after our family. Like at the end of the day, we want the best for them. If their business plan involves a massive amount of growth and we know that, and they're showing, they're putting the work in, we can see that they're on track for their projections, we look after them first. So we'll always put them first, and we'll always try to make sure that we plan for growth with them and make it more about them. At the end of the day, that's what we want to do. We want to make our franchise owners successful and try and support them as best we can. So therefore, we limit the amount of competition they will have in the area. And that's, again, another risk that's kind of taken away. A lot of franchise groups don't do that. You buy your territory that's yours, and then someone else a couple of Ks down the road will buy one. And sometimes it can be competitive. Our franchise owners work together. They all do. It's like one big tight family. If one receives leads from one of the area, they'll pass them on. There's no cost involved. It's very much that they work well with each other. And that's one of the attractive things about being involved in a franchise like this, where it's much more structured like a family than a competitive franchise group.
Yeah, huge match on collaboration.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So then how do you guys stay up to date with changing consumer preferences and trends? And how does this influence what you're presenting in the strategy? Because I know, as you said, you're basing it off the UK model. How do you build that and kind of apply it back to Australia as well?
Anything the UK does, they're usually a fair few years ahead of us when it comes to technologies and these types of things. So we try to work off the back end of the UK. If it's anything that's more related to the Australian market, as in like, you know, if we have policies that are brought out around social media that the English don't have, or if we have restrictions around, even when COVID was a huge problem, we didn't have the same problems that the UK had. So we couldn't really model ourselves exactly. We had to come up with our own strategies around that. So we always go for advice first from the UK, being obviously in it for longer than we have. But to give you a really small example of that, before COVID came on board, we knew that having an online presence for our students, so having an online training university, was going to be something that eventually in the future people would want, because sometimes they're so busy these days, they can't travel. And maybe someone who lives remote Australia, for example, England would have that problem. They can drive 3 hours and get anywhere they want, whereas someone from rural Australia who might want to attend martial art classes can't drive 13 hours. So, well, what can we do about that? Well, we can come up with an online training college and allow anyone from anywhere to come and train with us. And we started to design that and be the leaders in providing the type of opportunity to members of the community in Australia. Just so happens, a week later, COVID closed our schools down, but we'd already created the uni and we'd already told everybody. So within 3 days, we pretty much transferred all of our members across to an online platform and didn't lose anyone. So when it comes to leading the way, and we're always forward thinking. So, you know, we don't use paper. We went paperless as soon as we could. We got rid of paper. We created smartphone apps. We tried to do all of these things to really make us super, super unique and ahead of the rest of the pack. Well, traditional martial arts instructors are out there working the day job and then, you know, rocking up and opening up their hall and just trying to do a last minute class. We future plan all of our classes. And we're months and months and months in advance when it comes to what we're going to be doing and providing to our students in relation to support in and outside of the academy. What can we do for their schools? What can we do for the community? How can we get involved in our community in other areas that aren't just martial art focused? So we're always doing those types of things to try and keep ourselves well ahead of the pack. And that's what we do. That's literally what head office does. We sit here and we look for opportunities for future growth and future risk prevention. And then as soon as we come up with something great, we roll that out into the entire network.
No, it's absolutely incredible. And it's such a good model to have as well. You're always growing and evolving. You need to nowadays because it's just happening so fast.
Yeah.
Okay, so finally, what is the best advice you can offer someone who is considering becoming an MF martial arts franchisee, and what is the best way for them to get started?
Best advice I can offer someone wanting to become a franchisee would be, people are really fearful of taking a first step, especially when they're already employed and they've got the stability of income. And they're like, oh, if I make this step and go into a business I don't know too much about, I'm going to lose that stability. That's just not true. Like, you don't have to drop everything and jump onto an opportunity like this one. There's no $300,000 investment where you've got to mortgage your entire house and put everything at risk to get involved with this. We've got a very low entry buy-in to the point where there's really zero risk, because you're return on investment as quick as what it is from the majority of our franchise owners means that you cash flow positive in a few months. And even if things weren't to go according to plan, you could walk away not lost pretty much anything. So it's a really low risk opportunity. And not only that, a lot of our guys don't quit their day jobs when they first start, because you don't really need to. You got to remember that we're providing a service in the afternoon majority of the time after school is finished. So for example, if you work 6 till 2 or something like that, or you're a school teacher or a PT and you've got flexible hours, you're not going to really, it's not going to affect your life all that much. You will be working more. Yeah, definitely. But if you're worried about quitting your day job because you're worried about that security, don't. Do them both for as long as you can until you realize that this is a good opportunity, and then quit it after. That's one of the big things. So I guess the big advice would be, just ask us for more information and let us have that conversation about your personal situation, because we find that when we really sit down and have a good chat about what people really want long term and what's holding them back, we can usually find a way to overcome those little hurdles and find a way to be able to bridge the gap between that financial freedom and doing things for yourself and leaving the old world behind, and then try to make that transition as smooth and as safe as possible and take all the risk and all that fear out of it. And the only way to do that is to speak to us first. So get in touch either through the website, www.mattfidess.com.au, or directly at our head office, 0419-316-000, and we'd love to have a chat.
It's been incredible having you both here today. Thank you so much for joining
Thank
us.
You.
I also love the matching shirts.
We didn't talk about that, but we do have a massive amount of product as well. So we've got our own clothing line. All of our students have access to that. But everything is, as you'd imagine, is branded, being a franchise, and limited edition come out every year. So it's these are the new limited edition one-of-a-kind shirts. That's what we're wearing today, rocking the new shirts.
Yeah, very nice shirts.
Thank you.
And that's all the time we have for today. Thanks for joining us, Matt Fiddies and Ryan Canavan. It was a pleasure learning about Matt Fiddies martial arts and your franchising opportunities. Now, for anyone listening to this podcast who would like to know more about this opportunity or kickstart the franchise process, click the JotForm link in the show notes below. Once you've submitted your interest, the team at Eden Exchange will get in touch as soon as possible to set you on your franchising journey. Eden Exchanges was brought to you by the team at Eden Exchange. In this episode, we spoke to Matt Fiddies and Ryan Canavan, who are part of Matt Fiddies Martial Arts. To find out more about Matt Fiddies Martial Arts, or to discover other episodes by Eden Exchanges, head to our website, www.edenexchange.com. If you're looking for a way to simplify the business buying and selling process, then our new virtual lead room, Deal Exchange, is exactly what you've been looking for. You can learn more about the platform by visiting our website or by getting in touch with our team. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and Twitter at Eden Exchange for the latest updates, news, and opportunities in Australia's trusted business marketplace. Thanks for listening.